Turn your Bibles, will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We just sort of be reminded of this passage as we consider this. Why do a character study, if you will? And, of course, we're here taking a look at the book of Jude. There's been some characters, some individuals are being mentioned here, and we're taking a look at them in particular. And why is it so? I mean, is this boring reading? Is this stuff that gets you down or just bothers you or just, you know, is too heavy for you, or does this help you? Well, it's given to us for this reason. And the Lord is talking here in 1 Corinthians, the apostle's writing to the church at Corinth. The Lord's speaking through him and to tell them, to tell this Gentile church about why it is that these things happened to Israel. What's it say in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11? Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. All right? They happened unto them for examples. Okay? And they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So the Lord took these things that happened to these folks, and they are all part of the working and the great plan of God, Him working with His nation. And they've been, He caused them to be written down so that you and I might be admonished to do what's right and follow the Lord. Have faith in the Lord. So why look into the Old Testament? Why do a character study? Why look at what the things that happened to the children of Israel? So that you and I might be admonished. And that admonition is a urging to do well, to do right, to follow that which is right. In the book of Jude there, one chapter, and we're here in verse number 11. These that are there within the church, certain men crept in unawares, and the things that they're going to be doing about to compromise the Lord's people, compromise the Lord's church, all they think about is themselves and what they want to do. It says unto them in verse number 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. And we saw that as a way of doubt, a way of selfishness, a way of disbelief of God. The way of wickedness and the way of man, the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam. And that's where we're at this afternoon, is speaking about Balaam. Let's turn back over to Numbers chapter 22. We left Balaam, and I asked you some questions about Balaam. What do you think about Balaam? And we mentioned about these priests of the Lord and how there were priests of the Lord. And understand that distinction between a prophet and a priest. Okay, between a prophet and a priest, there's a difference there. And we took a look about and considered about Melchizedek. We took a look and considered about Jethro and Moses' father-in-law. We considered about Job. Kind of wonder if less is said there, but he did offer burnt offerings and such. And now we've come to this man, Balaam, and there's this king of Moab, called Balak. And he sees the children of Israel, and he sees what's going on with the children of Israel and how they're passing through the land. And he calls this man, and he says about this man that who he blesses is blessed, and whom he curses is cursed. Okay? And Balak knows that about this man. And he wants him to come, Balaam to come, and put a curse on the children of Israel. And so he knows that. He sends an ambassador. They inquire of Balaam, and he says no. He sends some more honorable, and they're there. And there's more that is offered to Balaam, and he determines he's going to go. And then as he looks to go, the Lord said in verse number 20, God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come call thee, rise up. What we find is Balaam rose up in the morning. He's just ready. Okay. The Lord's anger was kindled against him, verse number 22. And the Lord dealt with Balaam so that he caused his donkey to speak to him. to speak to him. Donkeys don't speak to where people can understand them. All right? Donkeys don't speak our language, nor the language of those in the land of Moab there. The donkeys don't do that, but the Lord caused it to be so. And, of course, we read some also in the epistles of Peter about Balaam and such. And so we left this off in verse number 35 of this chapter, Numbers chapter 22, verse number 35. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men. Okay, he said once his eyes were opened, okay, the angel of the Lord, he said in verse 34, Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And he said that. He said, I'll go back. And the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. The mind of the Lord is for him not to go at all. But he didn't hold to that the second time that they visited with what they promised. He made the Lord angry, and the Lord dealt with him and spared him his life, caused his donkey to be able to talk to him. And then in verse number 36, the scripture says this, and when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab. So Balak has heard word. Evidently, maybe there were messengers even sent before, as was common in that day. And he went out to meet him into the city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is in the utmost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? So it's kind of a threat. Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor? So why were you hesitant? Why did it take the second time? And Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. So he says, as the Lord, the angel of the Lord told him, I can't do anything. I can't say anything of myself. But what the Lord says, what God putteth in my mouth, that's what I'll speak. And Balaam went with Balak, and they came unto Kirjath Huzoth. And Balak offered oxen and sheep. And so here the king is offering a sacrifice, and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, because that's who he was offering sacrifices to, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. So Balak is offering his sacrifices to Baal, whom he worships, a false god, a god of man's contriving. And then he gets Balak and brings him up to this place, to this high place where their altar would be and where they would offer sacrifices and such as that, that he might see the people. Chapter 23, verse number 1. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars. So he's not going to use Balak's altars, and I find that interesting. And prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure the Lord will come to meet me. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. And whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to an high place, and God met Balaam, so he did. And he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and had offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth. Is Balaam God's priest or no? Is he his priest or no? I wonder. And said, return unto Balak, and thus shalt thou speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab, Balak did. And he took up his parable and said, this is Balaam speaking, Balak, the king of Moab, have brought me from Aram. out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? He's great. Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. So, he says here, Israel is blessed. Jacob is blessed. Jacob is great. God has blessed him. Okay? How can I stand against him? Who could count the dust of Jacob and number the fourth part of Israel? If you just take a quarter of Israel, who can number that many? Just that portion. He said, let my last end be like his. So there's a blessing at hand, isn't there? And Balak said unto Balaam, What hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? He said, I brought you here to curse, and you've blessed them altogether. He said, but I've got to do that. I've got to speak what the Lord has put in my mouth. Verse 13. And Balak said unto him, come, I pray thee, with me into another place, from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt see but the uttermost part of them, and shall not see them all, and curse me them from thence. So he takes him to a place where he can see all the people, if I understand that right, and ends up blessing them. Okay? And said, I'm going to take you to another place from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt not see but the uttermost part of them, and shall not see them all. He said, well, this didn't work. Seeing all of them wasn't good. So I'm going to take you to a place where you can just see a portion of them. And curse me them from thence. And he brought him, verse 14, into the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, of all places, and built seven altars, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. He said unto Balak, stand here by thy burnt offering while I meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam, and put a word in his mouth, and said, go again unto Balak, and say thus, and when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord spoken? Verse 18. And he took up his parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear, Balaam speaking, hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? He said, Balak, you're not dealing with a man here. The word of the Lord says, you're not dealing with a man here. Behold, I've received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. There's only a blessing for Jacob. There's only a blessing for Israel. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. There's confidence in the Lord there. There's blessing in the Lord there. They are the Lord's people. The Lord God's with him. And God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Balak, he seeks to bring this man, to bring this priest that has influence, and to bring a curse upon his enemy. But it cannot be, because they're the Lord's people. And in this, to this point, I see that Balaam is an honest man. He has gone, and he should not have gone with the enemy, granted. But then the Lord made it sure and made it set for him that he would go and only speak what God had given him to speak. He shouldn't have meddled with them in the first place. But then the Lord is going to use this. Again, man's sin and man's disobedience does not thwart God. Understand that. What God's going to purpose to do, he's going to do. And he will take us and our sin and in our wickedness, and he could still, as Brother Doug pointed out this morning, the Lord doesn't use sin and wickedness directly, I don't believe, nor appoint it. He's not the author of sin, the Scripture bears out. But he will remove his hand from folks, and he will remove his hand even from his people that are disobedient against him, and he will use even the things that they do that are sinful and wicked against God. They will not thwart God, and God can take it that his name is yet glorified and honored. Balaam shouldn't have messed with these folks. He had it right the first time. But he caved the second time. The Lord's angel stood against him, told him to go ahead and go and speak only that which the Lord would have him to speak. And what's happened? There's nothing that can be said against the Lord's nation. There's nothing that can be said against the Lord's people. So he takes him here to this place where he can only see a part of him. And so we have this. He's received commandment to bless. Okay, and so we come here to verse 25 of chapter 23. Numbers 23, 25. And Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. Just stay in the middle ground. But Balaam answered and said to Balak, told not I thee, saying, all that the Lord speaketh, that I must do. Remember, the notoriety of Balaam was that whoever he blessed was blessed, and whoever he cursed was cursed. And Balak said, oh, now what have you done? Look here, I've brought you up here. I've gone to this time and this trouble and all that. I want you to curse him for me. And it had been better if you just wouldn't have said anything, because now they've got another blessing upon them, because he knows the influence of this man. Balaam tells him, all that the Lord speaketh, that must I do. And Balak said, verse 27, unto Balaam, come, I pray thee, I will bring thee into another place. Peradventure it will please God that thou mayest curse me them from thence. Well, I tell you what, sin and depravity and blindness is just that, isn't it? Sin, depravity, and blindness. Sin, depravity, and blindness. It just brings more and more and more of the same, doesn't it? More and more of the same. And Balak, verse 28, brought Balaam unto the top of Peor that looketh toward Jeshimon. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had said, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. Chapter 24, verse 1. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. So he didn't do as he had done before, but he set his face toward the open country, towards the wilderness, not towards the way Israel was, if I understand it. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. So he did see them, and the Spirit of God came upon him. That's interesting. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel! As the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of line of aloes which the Lord hath planted, as the cedar trees beside the waters, pleasant, bountiful, blessing. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. That's what Balak feared. And Balaam is declaring the blessing of the Lord upon his people. He couched, verse 9. He lay down as a lion, and as a great lion, who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. So once again, in another place, Balaam is brought and to deal with Israel. Balak urges him again to seek the Lord and try to curse Israel, but it can't be done. The blessing is even greater again. Verse 10, and Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee thou to thy holy place. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee into great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. Wow, what if somebody would say that to you? Your following of the Lord has hindered you. You could have had a much higher position than what you've got now. But you know what? You're following after the Lord, and what you say is the way of the Lord has just kept you down. You just go on home. What if somebody said that to you? Which is better? To go after the wages of this world? The wages of sin for a season? Or to go the way of the Lord? And Balaam said unto Balak, verse 12, spake I not also to thy messengers which thou sentest unto me, saying, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind. But what the Lord saith, that will I speak. And he's been faithful to do that, hadn't he? Hadn't he spoken what the Lord's given him to speak? Has it not been a blessing three times upon the Lord's people? It has. And now, behold, I go unto my people. Come, therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. He said, there's been blessing. You've sought for me to curse them. And for these three times, I've not been able to do it. Can't do it. These are the Lord's people. Said, matter of fact, I'm going to go to prophesying now. And he took up his parable and said, verse 15, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise up out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheph. Whoa. I think the captain of the host of the Lord is going to be at hand, isn't he? Notice how those words there, those names, scepter, star. Notice them. A star out of Jacob and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. That's even prophetic of the Lord Jesus. But it's prophetic in nearer time of what the Lord is going to do in destroying Moab. And Edom, verse number 18, shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looked upon Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. And he looked upon the Kenites, and he took up his parable and said, Strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenite shall be wasted, until Asher shall carry thee away captive, one of the tribes. And he took up his parable and said, Alas, who shall live when God doeth this? And ships shall come from the coast of Chittim, and shall afflict Asher, and shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish forever. And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. So we have this major account of this priest, Balaam, and we're left with what it says there in Jude. Woe unto these that will come in amongst the Lord's people and amongst the Lord's churches. Woe unto them, for they have ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. Balaam hasn't done anything to be rewarded, has he? Balaam, on three occasions, if I understand it right, on three different locations, has done nothing but bless Israel. And then when oppressed by Balak and challenged by Balak, he says, I told you all that I could do was just speak what the Lord gives. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you what your end and others are going to be. And so he prophesies telling about that. So how is it that Brother Jude writes and Peter, Brother Peter writes, that there are those that have run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward? How is that? Well, Lord willing, next time we'll find out. Okay? So we gotta put this history in place so we can do so, and we'll take a look at that next time.